Such a friendly group. All kinds of thoughts. So I feel like all of my presenters have presented all of my talking points, so I'm going to go anyway and just see what happens. But again, I'm Rena Chodgar. I am an analyst at the National Association of County and City Health Officials, affectionately known as NACHO for short. And I'll talk about who we are for those of you who might not know us in just a minute, but I have no relationships to disclose. Before I get started, given that it's the last session almost of the day, and in line with kind of what Robert was saying about cognitive thinking and what NACHO does around adult learning principles, how about we take a quick 10-second stretch break? Really, I just want you guys to be alert and ready for my presentation. Yeah, there you go. So what I'm hoping to cover in the next few minutes is really just information and stories that we're hearing from the field about different collaborative efforts that are going on. And when I say collaborative efforts, these are really inter-agency efforts. There's a lot of work being done within agencies around staff engagement and collecting documentation and all of that stuff that's required to prepare for accreditation internally. But my focus is really going to be about externally, how are agencies working, as we've heard, the importance of kind of spreading the wealth across agencies or with other agencies within their state, outside of their state, with national partners, et cetera, in their accreditation preparation efforts. And then just some anecdotal lessons learned that we've heard so far. But first, who is NACHO? We are the membership association for the approximately 2,800 local health departments across the U.S., and we work with health officials, as our title indicates, but also with all levels of programmatic staff and other staff as well. We really work to support the work that local health departments do in their communities, whether through educational briefs, information, trainings, technical assistance, facilitating partnerships and some of those peer networks with other local health departments, state health departments or agencies, and federal level agencies, and really serve as the voice for local health departments at the national level. And we're NACHO, not NACHO, although I keep saying we should serve nachos at meetings just to be funny, but no one listens to me. So as we talked about, NACHO does a profile of local health departments every few years. So from our most recent profile, which was in 2013, we're ramping up to do another one, which I think the numbers are going to move forward. But as of 2013, accreditation activity in the field, so level of engagement with FAB accreditation, at that point, we had about 40% undecided, so I think those are in the pre-contemplative stages, perhaps 15% who at that point, so they're just not interested in applying for a variety of reasons. And then among the rest, 27% who were planning to apply, 3% who had already submitted their statement of intent, 3% who had submitted an application, and 13% who indicated the state health agency will apply on behalf of the local health department. I think if we were to do this now, and we will be doing it in the next year, these numbers, I think, are the undecided pool, I think, with those middle and late adopters or folks who are really starting to see what the benefits of accreditation are among those who have been accredited, and as accreditation continues to ramp up and gain energy in the field, I think that number will lessen, and probably even some of those who are not interested in applying will move into that pool as well. Just my thoughts, though. And then if we look across states, so this is local health departments within states who are favorably inclined to pursue accreditation. And favorably inclined just means they're formally engaged in some way, they're planning to apply or anticipate that the state health department will do so on their behalf. So they're really considering accreditation and moving forward with it. So we can see the dark purple ones are those in which there's 76 to 100% of local health departments within that state who are favorably inclined, and then the kind of beige, the darker beige ones are 51 to 75%. The gray is 26 to 50, and then the light beige is 0 to 25. I think that some of this might be also linked to their agents, their states in which there are laws now. Well, I can think of a couple of states off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's more. in which they are requiring local health departments to apply for accreditation by a certain date. There's, you know, alignment with strategic goals. They're hoping that, as was indicated in Indiana, at least 50%, I think, to apply for accreditation by certain dates. So there's a lot of activity going on from the state level for the local health departments. Again, I think that this is another graph that if we were to do this now as opposed to 2013, we would see even more in the darker beige and darker purple ones as well. But I still think this is great to have that many, considering there's so many local health departments, that many who are favorably inclined to pursue accreditation. So what I'm going to be talking about is really pulled from, we don't have any hard and fast data, but it's really just pulled from the work that we do in communities, from the initiatives that we're involved in with our direct touches on local health departments, as well as what we hear from our national partners, from presentations like this that I've already pulled information in, the TA that we provide local health departments, either from the questions that we get, we kind of analyze, well, what are the typical questions and what can we do about it, or even just going out and hearing challenges from folks in the field. We also have kind of more formal learning communities or initiatives that are going on in which we ask those participants to provide us data or provide feedback, and so we have information from those, and I'll talk about what those are in just a minute. And models is really just, for lack of a better term, these are really just efforts or initiatives that are going on. But so I've kind of grouped them in three categories, and this is not to say this is the only work that's going on. There's a lot of other efforts going on, but kind of the three big themes that we see emerge in how agencies are working across different agencies collaboratively as they prepare for accreditation. So informal and formal peer network or mentorship relationships. And I'll talk more about each of these in examples in a minute. So informal and formal peer networking and mentorships. Two or more agencies who are working jointly across jurisdiction lines, either formally as a multi-jurisdictional applicant to FAB or informally just because it makes sense. And then agencies who are kind of in that support role or are tasked with or who want to provide technical assistance or support local health departments or other health departments in their accreditation preparation efforts. And when we talk about accreditation readiness efforts, this is really the gamut of everything that agencies do to apply for accreditation and go through the documentation process and all of that to hopefully eventually be accredited. General accreditation preparation, setting up the accreditation team, figuring out how to do documentation collection within an agency, how to make it fun, staff trainings, things like that, completing the prerequisites, the CHAWCHIP, the strategic plan, and the processes involved with those, documentation for other major processes or activities, and then just generally building a culture of quality and conducting QI projects. So really anything. Okay, so the first kind of collaborative effort, informal and formal peer networking and mentorship. So we're seeing a lot of this happening. I think this is the most common kind of collaborative effort going on across the field. The first is just informally, as folks come out to conferences or as they hear of someone doing a certain thing, they'll pick up the phone or email them and call them. When they come to conferences, just networking with peers and getting contact information and learning from them that way, staying in touch with people and sharing best practices. We also have the Accreditation Coordinators Learning Community, so we call this the support group for accreditation coordinators. So this is open to any accreditation coordinator that has already submitted their application to FAB. Because of we hope to enlarge it at some point, but because of capacity and things like that, right now it's only open to those people. But they have an opportunity to talk with each other. We know accreditation coordinators often have a unique role or specific task that they're charged with at the agency to push accreditation forward. And so we've heard that it's helpful for them to be able to share ideas, talk with each other, maybe jointly develop resources, hear what others are doing. So there's a social networking site on which they can ask questions of each other, talk to each other, things like that, periodic conference calls, and then as we have funding for it, in-person meetings. And from feedback that we've heard from them and others in the field who are interested in being involved, they've said that having the opportunity to connect directly with accreditation coordinators that they might not otherwise know or meet has been so valuable in helping them just really be more efficient in their accreditation preparation efforts. The second is the NATO CDC Accreditation Support Initiative. So this is one in which local health departments apply for and are awarded small amounts of money to do whatever they want related to accreditation preparation. But within that, we just piloted last year a mentorship component. So this is teaming up a mentee from the Accreditation Support Initiative with a mentor from the Accreditation Coordinators Learning Community. Because it's just piloted, it was just a handful of sites this year, but there was a lot of interest last year, so we're hoping to expand it maybe even beyond those who are specifically in one of those programs, but more of a kind of navigator-type program. And this was really one of the best parts, one of the best feedback we got from the ASI last year, because the mentees were able to talk directly with one person who were matched up based on similar interests or where they were in the process. The mentor might be just a little bit further ahead, so they have some of that knowledge to share, and just email with them, have phone calls, meet up with them at conferences, and really just learn from someone who's just a little bit ahead of them in the process, or maybe has even been accredited. So those types of relationships, just having access to someone on a one-on-one basis, has we've heard is really beneficial. Many states have learning groups that are emerging, so Ohio, Kentucky, Maryland, I'm sure you guys can name some more, Indiana, I think. Other states are really creating these learning groups, either from existing state learning groups that that were already in existence before thinking about accreditation as a state, or something that developed as a result of knowing that many local health departments are interested in pursuing accreditation. And so what these learning groups do is hold conference calls or connect people with each other, again, similar to this, to the other ones I mentioned. But what's unique about these, or what people find helpful, is typically, except for, you know, where it might be hard, you can kind of get together with neighboring health departments or get together as a whole state for meetings and talk with each other and hash things out. And maybe even you might be facing some similar challenges that you can work out together as a group within a particular state. Other organized communities of practice. So this we see kind of agencies who have similar challenges or interests coming together. We have there's a big cities communities of practice. So big cities might face different or unique challenges compared to other agencies in not just their accreditation preparation efforts, but other efforts as well. And so them convening together to talk about what they're doing and share resources and ideas. And then national performance improvement conferences, or even larger public health conferences, opportunities to share with each other and then share your information or receive recognition from your peers that way. And then again, the one-on-one networks. The second is two or more agencies working jointly on certain documentation or activities, again, either formally or informally. So formally as a multi-jurisdictional applicant, or informally just because it makes sense. So I won't spend a lot of time on these, but just a couple of examples of what we're seeing. In Ohio, and I'll talk about kind of the support agency's role, but local health departments came together because they saw there was a need for kind of a workforce development plan template. And so local health departments came together with their public health training center and worked to develop a template for a workforce development plan and then pilot it. And now in the field, I actually don't know of any agency outside of Ohio, too, that hasn't used this template in their workforce development efforts. I mean, there probably are some, but just from what we hear, everyone has used this because it was developed and created by local health departments and is of great value to the field and aligns with FAB standards and measures as they see them. Performance management out in Fresno, California, they worked with an academic institution in the San Joaquin Valley to develop this performance management template, performance management plan template. And so developed agency-specific metrics and things like that, but really kind of created this template Excel document that anyone can take and apply to their work. And so they're kind of slowly spreading it out across California, first piloting it with the rest of the health departments in the San Joaquin Valley, and then are going to kind of pilot it with all of California and then hopefully make it available to everyone as well. So a lot of great work going on kind of informally. For another example, I forget where this is from, maybe Connecticut. There was an agency who was going to be having a trainer come in for 3 or 4 workforce development trainings, very specific, or maybe workforce development and QI trainings. And they wanted to spread the wealth. And so they invited their neighboring health departments and partners in to come in and sit in on the training and learn from them as well, to just be more efficient and effective and just kind of allow others to learn from something that they'd already invested in. And then hopefully, you know, if the opportunity arose somewhere else, they would then do the same. And then finally, support agencies who have direct touches with health departments and are there to provide TA or really serve in a support role to support their accreditation preparation efforts. So these are some examples. I gave an example of, and not just schools of public health, but academic institutions in general. The Public Health Training Center in Ohio worked with the local health departments. There's the SACHOs, which are basically the state version of NACHO, and others as well, but really providing either at a fee or at no cost support to agencies to either help them network with each other, have summits, accreditation summits as a state, to serve as facilitators, so all kinds of things that support agencies are doing to support accreditation preparation efforts. So quickly, what are some of the benefits and lessons learned? So this is something I'm really interested in more. I think we often see it as an intangible benefit of going through the process, but I really want to somehow try to quantify this because I think it's really important, and we hear the benefit of it from agencies who are involved in collaborative efforts, but I don't think it's quantified or really able to be measured right now, and I think we should be able to because it's so important, and to be able to sell it to our funders to continue funding us to do work like this. So some of the benefits, I mean, I don't think this is anything new, but opportunities for synergy across agencies, across states, across the national level, blended expertise and information sharing, opportunity to learn from each other and not reinvent the wheel, especially we know that many agencies indicate that accreditation is resource and time intensive, so how can we be more efficient and effective in the work that we're doing and not just redo something that someone's already created. And opportunity to learn from your peers and make new friends and highlight your work as well and really be validated in the work that you're doing and being able to share that information with others as well. So that's all I got. That's my contact information.
Thank you.
Thanks.